Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Symphony Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Rutuja. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q2 FY23 results conference call of Symphony Limited. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Achal Bakiri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nrupesh Shah, Executive Director, Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Amit Kumar, Executive Director and Group CEO. We will have initial comments from the management, followed by presentation, and then question and answer session. So now I hand over the call to the management for their initial comments as well as the presentation. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome all participants to this conference call. My colleague Nrupesh Shah will be making a presentation and giving his summary, after which we will take all questions together. Thank you.
This is Nrupesh Shah. So welcome to this Q2 September quarter conference call, and thanks to ICICI Security Anirudh for hosting the call. So there is a presentation. Customary safe harbor statement is applicable. So during the quarter, on a consolidated basis, as well as on a standalone basis, it has been the highest ever September quarter top line. As far as gross margin is concerned, for 6 months, so April to September, gross margin on console as well as standalone level is marginally higher than previous year. And same about EBITDA margin, more so on standalone basis in first 6 months. However, console performance has been impacted on account of subdued performance of Climate Technology because part of its sales has been deferred to December quarter, and in line with earlier years, in current year more so, its performance is skewed to December and March quarter. Coming to September quarter performance highlights, just like first 6 months, for the quarter also on a standalone as well as console basis, it has been the highest ever top line. We are really witnessing very robust off-season collection, absolutely in line with pre-COVID period. And across the board, across the geography, the trade sentiments are quite positive and buoyant. However, our console as well as standalone gross margin have been impacted mainly because of some strategic reasons of value accretive product upgradation in about 4 range of air coolers. All in all, 20 plus SKUs, that is models, we have upgraded them, and on those models we intend to take calibrated price increase. As far as console EBITDA and standalone EBITDA are concerned, they are down by 4% plus and 3% plus respectively, mainly on account of we have incurred almost 6 crore of off-season market research and sales promotion and marketing related expenses, which will have long-term benefits. Similarly, we have commenced the sales to Brazil, and that being on CIF basis, there has been substantial increase in freight costs, about 3 crore, that is 1% of the sales, in addition to increase in freight in domestic market and also incremental warranty expenses. So all in all, close to 5% of the gross sales, EBITDA margin has been impacted mainly on account of these three items. And in line with pre-COVID, we are back to quarterly payout, and board of directors have decided to declare 2 rupees per share, that is 100%, all in all amounting to rupees 14 crore by second interim dividend, in addition to first interim dividend of equivalent amount post 38 June. So some of the financial graphs on a console basis, top line is in excess of 600 crore, up by 34% YOY, while PAT is 61 crore, up from 36 crore YOY, up by 70%. Of course, we are fully cognizant of the fact that this is on low base, as previous year and year before was a low base on account of COVID. The breakup of consolidated performance segment-wise, so as it can be seen in first 6 months, India sales is contributing almost 63% of the console sales, about 378 crore, while rest of the world sales is almost in line with previous year, about 225 crore. And almost entire EBITDA has been contributed, amounting to 63 crore from business from India sales. About standalone financials, in September 23, first 6 months, it is up by 73%, about 423 crore, while profit after tax is 70 crore, up from 39 crore. In terms of the percentage, slightly higher than previous year, mainly on account of the scale, and also we registered robust summer sales in June quarter. Coming to console financials for the quarter, YOY is up by 24% and profit after tax stands at 32 crore, YOY up by 6%, and earlier I explained the reasons by lower increase in the profit. So this is the waterfall movement of EBITDA margin of previous year to current year. Most of them I discuss and explain earlier. And for the quarter, about the segment, just like for 6 months sales, most of the sales increases from domestic sales, which is quite healthy sign and contributes 69%, while rest of the world sales is again in line with September 21, about 84 crore. Coming to average capital employed, in terms of the capital efficacy, which is one of the USP of Symphony, we are back to tight control on capital employed. And for 6 months as a whole, India standalone and subsidiaries put together, the average capital employed is 192 crore. About standalone financials, for September quarter, sales is 215 crore, up from 140 crore, while profit after tax up from 32 crore to 45 crore. And EBITDA margin movement by waterfall. Again, most of that explained earlier. For the quarter on standalone, our capital employed is negative 89 crore, mainly on account of robust off-season collection. Some of them have yet to be billed in December quarter. Coming to outlook, in air cooler in domestic business, there is a decent visibility across our sales channels, across the geography. And about the global markets, we are actively exploring some of the new global markets. Down the line, as climate technologies performance will be more skewed to December and March quarter, we are expecting subsequent quarters to post much better performance. However, in respect of global demand, we are keeping a close watch on evolving global economic headwinds and likely impact on demand, especially in United States and maybe in Australia. And as always, we are quite committed to pursue the growth with responsibility towards the society. Thank you.
We invite questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is on climate tech. Just wanted to understand what you mean by when you say that some of the sales have been deferred to Q3. Why exactly has that been happening, and what kind of visibility do we have on that?
Yeah, so YOY, as it can be seen, climate technology has registered negative profitability, and that is mainly US related sales and some other sales has been deferred to December quarter and March quarter on account of switch in demand. But year as a whole, at this point of time, we are quite confident to maintain the momentum as well as sales by and large in line with last year. In fact, in United States, we are also launching some of the new models and also exploring new sales channels, including large format stores, e-commerce, as well as D2C. And D2C and e-commerce have been already activated, of course, at very initial stage.
In Australia as well, both in USA and in Australia.
Understood, sir. My second question is on overhead expenses. It's been the third consecutive quarter wherein we have seen overhead expenses being slightly higher than what one would have imagined. Even in the last quarter, we saw warranty expenses being a little higher. So should we assume that warranty expenses from now onwards would be at a level higher than what we have seen in the past? And also a related question, that A&P spends that we have had in this particular quarter, given that it's an off-peak season, we still have had fairly high A&P expenses. Should that be considered as a one-off, or is there some change in the strategy? Thank you.
Yeah. Girish.
Yes. So warranty is generally provided on the basis of historical data. So whatever we have provided in the financial year at 2021-22, that is a short provision because there is a huge tertiary sales.
In nutshell, whatever is incremental warranty expenses in terms of the percentage in current quarter, that will continue in December as well as March quarter. You are right.
And lastly, on account of the significant increase in tertiary sales. Secondary sales from the company, primary sales from the company to the channel grew, but the growth in tertiary sales from the channel out to the consumer was significantly higher, because of all the pent-up inventory that had built up over the last 2 years also got sold out. So the warranty expense incurred to service that much higher tertiary sales is reflecting here.
Perfect. Understood. And about A&P?
And?
Advertisement.
Yes, advertisement and sales promotion. As a percentage of the sales, it may not be as high as in June quarter, because in June quarter, we had to again clear off backlog of inventory lying with the trade, which was unprecedented, accumulated over 2 years, and on top of it, we had to also sell from the company. However, year as a whole, by and large, in terms of the percentage, it may settle around historical average or slightly higher than that. Secondly, we have to be also cognizant of the fact that for last 3 years, we are quite actively pursuing e-commerce and D2C. So certainly, vis-a-vis sales, that advertisement and sales promotion expenses in addition to normal will be continuing.
Again, the ad spend will be there for especially for digital, but the corresponding increase in sales will happen gradually over time.
Understood, sir. So the spike that we have seen in advertising spend in Q2, vis-a-vis the typical Q2 numbers that we used to see, that may persist for the next few quarters as well, as this is a strategic decision that we are undertaking to kind of build new channels.
So in Q2 as such, there was no direct advertisement or sales promotion bearing some negligible amount. It was more like some market research related expenses and also somewhat marketing related expenses related to trade channel.
Okay.
Again, a relatively long term in nature, but we have to book it as revenue expenses, and as conveyed earlier, amounts to about 2.5% of the sales, about 6 crore.
Right, and this we should assume that at roughly similar run rate, it will continue even during off-peak season?
No. This will not. Some of these expenses are one-time expenses, and they will not continue. We may incur them once every few years.
Okay, perfect. Great, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you a very happy day.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Onkar Gugardare from Shri Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question was regarding, you just spoke about expanding the business in more territories. So does that mean expanding the business through product and e-commerce?
Your voice is breaking. Can you please repeat the question?
clear now?
Better.
Yeah, I was asking you about, you just spoke about expanding the business in other geographies. That is by the means of expanding it through e-commerce and other ways, or like cloud. You are seriously looking for some acquisition in those geographies?
No, at this point of time, we are not looking for actively any inorganic growth. That is not looking for growth through acquisition. It will be pure organic growth, and we are exploring and seriously evaluating some of the markets in Southeast Asia as well as in Latin America, where initial traction is quite decent, including Brazil.
May I know what kind of sales percentage you have in UAE?
What kind of sales percentage?
In terms of overall revenue?
No, we are not giving a country-wise breakup of our international revenue.
Just wanted to know how big the presence is.
The presence is not significant in the UAE.
It's not significant, right?
No.
Okay, so are you planning to expand that also when you talk about Southeast Asia, or like that doesn't include that?
No, certainly. Certainly we are planning on expanding in the Middle East and North Africa, the MENA region.
The second question is regarding other subsidiaries. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, so as far as IMCO is concerned, consistently it is doing well. Just to talk about some recent development on account of increased international freight, its residential air coolers, which we used to supply from India, those molds and dies, we have shifted to IMCO, and local outsourced manufacturing of household air coolers meant for IMCO has already begun over there. So, as briefly conveyed earlier, this is the benefit of some of the synergies of our overseas subsidiaries. And that will also help us to explore further in US as well as Latin America. But in nutshell, IMCO is doing well. As far as GSK China is concerned, it's not doing well. It is in the red. However, as shared earlier, about 2 quarters before, we have rationalized its overheads and they are down by almost 35%, and that is partly reflected in first 6 months. So in first 6 months, GSK China at EBITDA level is breaking even. And considering local geopolitical situation of GSK China, we are actively pursuing it's having some of the valuable products and designs and patents which are being used and benefited greatly in India as well as other countries. Actually, that is an indirect benefit. Say, for example, Movicool range of models, centralized air coolers, etc., etc. So how that complete benefit can be taken over, we are evaluating that.
Apart from the dividends which you have given so far in this year, what about the buyback program you were planning to do?
So as we haven't declared, obviously it has not been as of now announced, but we believe that once we have much better financials, it's a question of time, and at a right time, board of directors will take appropriate decision.
So what do you mean by much better finances? Can you elaborate on that? You already have good cash flows and cash making.
No, so we have come out of COVID only for last 2 quarters. We wish to have much better actual performance, even though visibility and roadmap is much better. But irrespective of that, as far as our payout policy is concerned, that is 50% of the PAT, that remains unchanged. So whether it is by way of buyback or dividend, that is happening and we will keep on continuing.
Okay. but the plan of buyback is certainly on, right? It's not off the table.
Yeah, it may happen down the line. Immediately, there is no plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question would be like probably over the last 2-3 years, if you can highlight like in percentage terms, what would be the net additions at dealer and distributor level that we would have done?
There has been very robust addition, but due to competitive reasons, number of distributors and dealers,
right,
we are not sharing. And some of the marketing related expenses incurred in the current quarter or earlier also is in that direction.
Right, sir. Right. So my question would be, when we look at the domestic revenues, the India revenues, and when we compare it versus pre-COVID levels, they are almost flattish. So somewhere around 2Q of FY20, where I'm referring to. So when I look at the numbers, when they are flattish and we have expanded our distribution network, so how should we read this? Whether the old distributors have been lowering their inventory levels, or how should we read that? So just some light on that.
So in first 6 months, India revenue is significantly higher vis-a-vis pre-COVID level. Secondly, it is also important to note that this company level sales has been achieved after almost fully clearing backlog of inventory lying with the trade pre-March, and that was much higher than the summer sales what we have registered from the company. So our trade channel has contributed to sale not only what is reflected in our book, but at least 70-80% higher than that. That's number one. And number two, company level sales overall current year versus pre-COVID year as a whole, we will have a much better understanding. But as of now, even in that respect also, we believe that we should have a robust growth.
Right, I completely take that point, but my point was like at the end of June quarter, so probably even during FY20 at the end of first quarter, your inventory levels at the channel, with the channel, would be far leaner, would be hardly anything, because even that was a great summer. And this year again at the June exit, inventory levels were almost like negligible. So the question was with regarding that despite adding distribution network, so just wanted to get a sense on that. If there is something else you can add.
No. What Nupesh Bhai is trying to convey is, Manoj, that there was a lot of inventory lying with the channel, which has got cleared. So the total sales of Symphony coolers to the end user is much higher than Symphony sales, right, the company sales to the channel.
Right.
The accumulated inventory or unsold inventory from the previous two summers got liquidated along with fresh purchase from the company.
Right. Understood. Got it, sir. So secondly, over the last 2 years, we have taken a very accommodative stance, given that the channel was facing a lot of challenges by carrying inventories, and we were supporting them through some discounts or probably some offers. So do we still continue to offer them or support them, or probably now we are back to our normal business?
So it is back to normal, but see, everything is, you know, whatever we introduce or whatever we sort of withdraw, everything has to be calibrated. You know, there should not be a knee-jerk reaction. So you have to sort of, you know, do it in a gradual calibrated fashion. So whether it's a price increase, then you have to do it in baby steps. Similarly, withdrawal of any sort of price support or any other support also has to be done in small bites.
Right, sir. Got it, sir. So that was very.
So it will take maybe a couple of, you know, by the time the summer arrives, you know, in two quarters, we would have arrived at you know, where we want to be in terms of both pricing as well as in terms of you know, margins and trade support.
Great, sir. Great.
And there also, this is a continuous process. It doesn't end in the summer. You know, again, it's sort of, we will see how things go, and then once again come July, June, July, we will, you know, sort of keep on moderating what needs to be done.
That's right. Because my point was, like, if you look at where things have normalized, probably this could be an extra lever where the margins can actually be improved. So I was coming to
that. No, you're right. You're right. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, you know, things have to be done a little gradually. Is
right.
My point.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, sir. That was
it is like, yeah, if, you know, it is like somebody is on oxygen, then you have to wean away the oxygen. You can't just simply pull away the tube, you know.
Yes, completely agree. Completely agree, sir.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, and wish you all a very happy Diwali.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gajre from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Sir, you know, I need a little clarity on this, you know, the one-time expenses that, you know, you all have had. So I believe, you know, the expense of 6 crore and 3 crore would have been taken at the standalone level. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, you know, if I were to just add that as a one-time expense, you know, then the margin are probably similar to what they were last time, you know, closer to 25%. In that backdrop, you know, the consolidated performance or actually subsidiary performance are extremely weak. So I want to understand what exactly is happening at subsidiary level. So can you throw some light on maybe the performance of each of the entities, please?
So as explained earlier, you are absolutely right. As far as IMCO Mexico is concerned, it's perfectly fine. GSK China, YOY, in fact, it is slightly better, even though overall impact will be insignificant. However, climate technology, particularly in September quarter, its lot of sales has deferred to December and March quarter. But its annual visibility in terms of the sales and profitability is not changing at all. It's at the most postponement of some of the sales, especially to US and some other markets, including Australia, to December and March quarter. So year as a whole, we expect climate technology to deliver and perform in line with or better than last year.
Okay, fair enough. That's very helpful. So in the revenue, you know, the decline of almost 26% on subsidiary performance can be attributed largely to, you know, the Australian business and American business. When you're saying Mexico is fine, are there any numbers that you can, you know, share with us, you know, as to how the performance or revenue numbers have been, how the operating performance has been of Mexico and China? You know, because this negative operating performance at subsidiary level, you know, I'm just trying to understand where is really the problem.
No, so as I mentioned, it's at climate technology level, where in fact YOY sales is lower, but there is a complete visibility of the sales and profitability down the line. And in terms of the annual performance of climate technology or IMCO, you can expect to be in line with or better than 21-22.
Okay, so I think Mexico had a very strong performance in 22. Fair enough. So, okay, I understand this. Fair enough. So that is the first
many
question.
Time, you know, just quarterly performance may be skewed because many a time due to variety of factors and reasons, business doesn't happen just quarter to quarter. So the fair view is annual performance, and that's what I'm trying to convey.
Sure. Thanks, sir. That's very helpful. So the second question that I've got is on the price hike that you said. You did indicate, you know, that you're looking at taking calibrated price hike. I want to understand how much price hike is it that you need, you know, so that the profitability will be at, you know, earlier level.
We know how much price increase to make, but it is not to share, not in public domain, again on account of competitive reasons.
And it varies from model to model, time to time, you know.
No, but if you can give some sense in the, you know, some range, you know, that you're looking at maybe 5% to 10%, something like that, that could be helpful. So we know
our aspiration is to reach to pre-COVID level EBITDA margin percentage over a period of time, and whatever needs to be done, it will happen over a period of time.
Sure. Thanks, sir. That's all my, that's all the questions that I had. Thank you very much and happy Diwali to you.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Wadhwani from Monarch Networth. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, just want to understand in last 2 years because of the COVID, COVID happened in 2021, and we the sales were impacted and we didn't raise any price. And in the 2022, again, COVID second wave came and the 21, COVID second wave came and the raw material prices also increased, so we didn't take the price hike. So that can be seen in the gross margin decline in FY21 and FY22. I'm talking standalone perspective. So do we think the gross margin will improve in the coming quarters and will be back to the FY20 levels?
Yeah, so again, it is probably the same answer what we responded in earlier two questions. So there is a good possibility to improve that, but again it will happen in phased manner.
Yes. Okay, sir.
Secondly, it's not like we haven't taken any price increase. In last two quarters, model to model, there has been a price increase. And that is why it is reflected even in the gross profit margin percentage. Even though commodity prices, whether in March quarter, June or current quarter, is substantially higher than pre-COVID, of course lower than previous year, but that's how it is reflected in the gross margin percentage also.
Okay. Thank you. So one more question on the commercial air coolers. Can you talk about like what is the sales we are doing? If not, I don't want a particular number in general. And what is our view? Because now COVID has gone, things are coming to normalcy now, factories are setting up. The thought process on the commercial air cooler.
So the sales of the commercial industrial air coolers have also been, very robust. In fact, it has registered the highest sort of sales percentage amongst all our verticals, also because the base is lower. But that is one sort of vertical which is constantly growing. So the potential is huge and we are merely sort of, I would say, we have just begun, scratched the surface.
In fact, what is the margin profile in commercial air coolers? Is it the same like the domestic,
Better.
Okay. And sir, what is the percentage in total revenue by a ballpark number, if possible from your side?
Under 50%. Ballpark, you said so.
Okay. Thank you.
So it doesn't deserve segmentation reporting as per the guideline. So obviously it is lower than that guideline on a standalone basis. Of course, on a consolidated basis, it is in robust double-digit percentage.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one.
Yeah, Aniruddha here. I have some questions. Sir, in case of fans, now BLDC norms and finally BEE norms are getting implemented from 1st of January. So the prices of fan itself will increase. So how do you see the situation as far as air coolers are concerned? Will that have any positive benefit for us, considering the fan prices itself is significantly increased? Even some price hike is also expected in the prices of air conditioners too. So in a way, the scope for taking price hikes in a way to some extent also increases for us. So sir, how do you see the situation panning out over next 1 year, considering the two regulatory changes that are underway?
So although it is unlikely that air coolers will be affected by any regulatory changes, as you said, yes, I mean, fans and air conditioners are sort of in the cooling space. So that will sort of certainly, help us in able to sort of increase prices. But more importantly, I think we are overall living in a, sort of an inflationary environment where not only fans and air conditioners, but overall everything is going up. So, when the tide rises, it sort of lifts all boats, and that also will apply to air coolers. So I think, that the overall inflationary environment is something which is, in one sense, conducive for any price increase, because then there is less resistance from the market, from the consumers to, price increase. So it's just not these two categories of fans and air conditioners, but overall everything is going up. And going up significantly.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Joshi?
Aniruddha, are we audible?
There is no response from his line. In the meanwhile, yeah. I would request the participants to please press star and 1 to ask a question. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, may press star and 1.
If so, Aniruddha, we can close the session. Aniruddha?
Yes, sir. Sorry, my line only got disconnected. Surely. Just check for participants if there are any questions. Else, please hand over the call to management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all the participants for your valuable time during busy season, and thanks to ICICI Security Aniruddha Joshi for hosting this conference call. Wishing all of you happy Diwali after 2 COVID years. So have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.